I'm Megan Kamrick with news about women from around the world. This week in women's history, on December 31st, 1930, Odetta Holmes is born. She was known simply as Odetta, an American singer and songwriter, guitarist, actress, and civil and human rights activist. She was known as the voice of the civil rights movement. The woman who confirmed the existence of dark matter died this week. Vera Rubin was 88. NPR reports dark matter had been a theory since the 1930s, but Rubin's work confirmed its existence. Scientists now believe 90% of the universe is composed of dark energy or dark matter. Rubin was also a pioneering advocate for women in the sciences, according to NPR. And she wanted more scientific literacy in the world at large. Actress Carrie Fisher died this week at age 60 after suffering a cardiac episode on a flight from London where she wrapped up work on the next Star Wars film. The next day, her mother, Debbie Reynolds, also died after suffering a stroke at home. Fisher was remembered this week for her iconic role as Princess Leia in the Star Wars films, but she was also a busy script doctor in Hollywood, an author, and a mental health advocate who was candid about her own battles with bipolar disorder. Reynolds was 82 when she died. She was only 20 when she won a starring role in Singin' in the Rain, the 1952 Gene Kelly musical that became a classic, reported the Associated Press. She was also known for her Oscar-nominated role in another musical, The Unsinkable Molly Brown. She wrote in her memoir that one of her greatest fears was outliving her child. HBO has moved up its premiere date for a documentary on Debbie Reynolds and Carrie Fisher to January 7th. A new study finds that patients in hospitals who are treated by female doctors seem to have better outcomes. The San Jose Mercury News reports the study by Harvard University researchers examined a sample of Medicare patients treated between January 2011 and December 2014. They found patients treated by women doctors were less likely to die within 1 month of being discharged. They were also less likely to be readmitted. Researchers found women were more likely to do evidence-based medicine and follow clinical guidelines. They also communicate in ways that patients find more effective. Under the Affordable Care Act, hospitals are penalized if people are readmitted and rewarded for better health outcomes. This bodes well for female doctors in the future, who right now tend to be paid less than male doctors and are less likely to be promoted. Many said more research is needed and data is necessary to confirm these findings. West Virginia will be one of 11 states with a majority of women on their high court starting next week. The Associated Press and the Charleston Gazette report that West Virginia's Supreme Court will have a female majority for the first time when Beth Walker takes the bench January 1st. Other states with a female majority are Arkansas, California, Maryland, Massachusetts, Minnesota, New Mexico, New York, Tennessee, Washington, and Wisconsin. In Illinois, a new law takes effect January 1st, requiring salon professionals to receive 1 hour of training in domestic violence prevention. NPR reports it's an effort to use the often close relationships stylists and others in salons have with clients to help them if they're in abusive relationships. Stylists and nail technicians won't be required to report to authorities, but advocates say this ensures they will have the tools available if someone asks for help. In South Korea, government officials shut down a website with a map that ranked cities and regions by the number of women of childbearing age. CBS News reports the map drew intense backlash that the government was trying to shame women for not having children. Government officials plan to use the site to increase understanding of the country's low birth rate, one of the lowest among wealthy countries. A new study in rural Uganda found that when girls are given education and sanitary pads, they're less likely to miss school because of menstruation. NPR reported a study by a professor at Oxford University divided girls into four groups. One group got reusable, washable pads, the second got an education package, a third got both these things, and a fourth group got nothing. As girls grew older and got their periods, attendance rates dropped, but they dropped far less for the girls who got pads or education or both. Other researchers said much more study is needed, particularly on larger groups and other factors may be at play. They also want to make sure providing basic necessities to girls isn't just based on whether it improves school attendance. Bethany Caruso of Emory University said, quote, "I wonder if boys had a similar biological experience, if we would be going through so much effort trying to justify whether or not we were investing in giving them what they need." In Mumbai, India, women are protesting against the latest dress code requirements at a Jesuit university. Reuters reports St. Xavier's College had previously forbidden female students from wearing shorts, sleeveless tops, and short dresses. It added ripped jeans to the list, prompting the latest in a stream of criticism by women who say they are subject to different rules than male students at universities around the country. Those include restrictive curfews and even bans on mobile phones at one school. Women's safety has become a prominent issue since the 2012 gang rape and murder of a young woman on a bus in New Delhi. Some officials have responded by suggesting that women take self-defense classes, dress modestly, and avoid going out after dark. Students have countered with demands to end curfews, install more lighting, and hire more female security personnel. Under pressure to diversify, tech companies in Silicon Valley are intensively pursuing women for their boards. The New York Times reports a number of women being pursued relentlessly by tech firms. Aside from the most famous, like Sheryl Sandberg of Facebook, there's a growing pool of up-and-coming women on these firms' radar who are more ethnically diverse. Tech has been under fire for its lack of racial and gender diversity. Many hope by focusing on boards, those changes will ripple throughout the companies. And in New Mexico news, when women march in Washington, D.C. on January 21st, the day after the presidential inauguration, there will be at least 300 women from New Mexico. The Santa Fe New Mexican reports there will also be local marches in Albuquerque and Santa Fe that day. Organizers of the national march expect about 200,000 women to attend and protest incoming President Donald Trump. Some anticipate it will be the largest demonstration against an inauguration in history. For Women's Focus, I'm Megan Kamrick.